Now, Jodie Duggan was so delighted to find herself in her first relationship at the age of 17 that she missed out on the first warning signs of the abuse she would soon experience. She's on the line now. Good morning, Jodie.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning. So, seemed to be a bed of roses initially, but just to say that and identify you as the ambassador for Two Into You campaign. Just explain that by nature of context as we continue into your story.
Yeah, so Two Into You is actually a campaign run by Women's Aid, but it's for younger girls. So it's just to make younger girls more aware of the red flags in relationships. And they asked me to be a part of their campaign after they had seen my situation and what had happened, how like badly it was dealt with. So they asked me if I'd be a part of their campaign and kind of spread awareness to other girls to help them see the red flags. Because sometimes it's a little bit difficult when you're so young and you try to see the best in people to see these red flags.
Right, okay. Now, this is a campaign aimed primarily for people aged between 18 and 25. You're 23, so we're talking about relatively recently for this particular abuse and journey that you have. So, there you were, 17, future looked bright. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I was only out of school, so I was quite young, and like all of my other friends had had boyfriends, and this was the first like boy who had shown an interest in me, and I thought, oh, like, why not? I was really young, I was really vulnerable. I still hadn't fully found myself. And when he'd shown an interest in me, I was like, oh, do you know what? Why not go for it? He seems okay. And it wasn't really abusive at the start. It starts small and then would build up and up and up. I got more and more control and until eventually it got physical. And it was extremely controlled. And like, he'd know how much was in my bank account. He'd have to know like where my location was. He wouldn't let me see my family. He'd make me try to choose between him and my family, and if I chose my family, he'd tell me he'd kill himself. But yeah, no, it got really difficult, and I felt like I couldn't tell anyone because I was so young, and I was nearly trying to protect him because I felt so bad for him that if I had left him, he told me that he'd have no one, he'd got to kill himself. So I was trying to protect my family from knowing what was happening to me and him from harming himself. But I ended up just hurting myself in the middle of it all. And then there was just one night where it was just extremely bad, and like my bedroom was destroyed. There was like blood in the walls from him smashing glass on me, and my mum and dad had come home from holidays. I didn't have enough time to clean it all up, and then my mum kind of said straight away, like, was this Jake? And I said, yeah. And she's like, right, Jodie, enough is enough. Has he ever hurt you? And I said, no, like, it was just the glass when it fell. And then the next morning I told her, and I had pictures, and I explained to her what had been happening. And obviously, like, it upset me seeing her so upset. But, like, I had to be dealt with, and I had to go to the guards. And, like, it was extremely difficult. I didn't know about Women's Aid at that time. Like, I was so young, I didn't know that was available. I always thought, like, an abusive relationship only happens to older women, like, women that are in, like, that have kids, that are married. Like, I'm too young for this to happen to my first relationship. Like, this is not supposed to happen. But it does happen, and I think it should be taken a lot more seriously, especially for younger girls. And it being your first relationship, like, it makes you look at other relationships. Like, it's very difficult for me in other relationships. Like, I am in a relationship now and I'm so happy, but it was difficult at the start. Obviously, you have your walls up and you're nervous, but not everybody is the same.
Your first relationship. So, you know, the relationships were new to you. Did you have an idealistic version of relationships? You know,
like,
did this start in a creepy sort of way or a small, insidious way that you didn't really notice?
Yeah, like, I started small. Like, I wasn't allowed to talk to other boys. If I talked to a boy or a boy looked at me, he'd shout at them, he'd like say horrible things to them, he'd say horrible things to me. If a boy sat beside me in like a nightclub, like it could be even a friend, he hated that. And then like it built up from there, and having my location on, to checking what underwear I'd have on, and then it led to like pushing and shoving, to then pinning me on the wall. He'd like push his knuckles into like pressure points like on my legs, my hips, my arms, and they'd be like knuckle marks. And then it just got more and more aggressive as it went on. And like, I was so young, like, and he was a lot bigger than me and stronger than me that I couldn't fight back. And, like, I don't have it in me to hit someone, so I didn't want to fight back. I'd literally just go limp and just, it's just easier to let him do it than to fight back, because I knew if I fight back, he'd just fight harder.
And alarm bells in your head?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's not normal. No one can think that's normal. But when someone's sitting on you, holding a knife to their neck, saying that you're going to watch them kill themselves because you don't want to be with them, and you're 17, what are you supposed to do? Like, you have the guilt, you have the feeling that it's going to be my fault. He told me that he'd write letters and tell people that he killed himself because of me. It was my fault. At 17, that's a lot to have on your shoulders. And when it's your first relationship and supposed to be the person that loves you, obviously you're going to try to protect them.
When your parents asked you about that particular instance when they came back from holidays and they asked you about, you know, physicality and things.
Yeah.
Were there other episodes where, you know, he was physical towards you?
Oh, it was at least once or twice a week. It was regular. Countless times. I couldn't count how many times it was, because it was just all the time. It was on a regular basis. Some occasions were worse than others. And obviously, like, you don't want to tell your parents stuff like that because it's embarrassing. And I'd hide my cuts and bruises. Like, there was times where I had black eyes and I had bruises, and I remember we went on a holiday and I didn't want to go on the holiday. I didn't feel safe. And he said that he'd go over and kill himself over there if I didn't go with them. So I went with black eye, I went with bruises on my hands, my hip, my face, my neck. And, like, we've seen friends in the airport and they didn't know, they even say, like, we didn't even cop it, like, he covered it so well. I just hid it. I was so embarrassed, and then I didn't want to hurt him. I was trying to protect everyone, but it's only now I realise that was so wrong, and I obviously should have told people. And I was trying so hard to tell people, but I couldn't bring myself to do it, like, even, like, my best friends. But he'd always be there, like, he'd always either arrive, like, even if I was getting ready to go out and one or two of the girls were over, he'd just arrive at my house and he'd be there. And he'd be like, oh, I thought I'd surprise him, we could have, like, a few drinks together. But no, he just knew that eventually I was going to crack and I was going to tell someone.
Yeah. Did you blame yourself in this relationship?
No, I don't think I blame myself. Like, I can't be responsible for other people's actions. But am I hurt from it? Yeah, I'm extremely hurt. Like, for years after it, I always thought, like, I made him do that. That was my fault. Like, I pushed him so far that he felt like he had to do that. And it was only through, like, getting help and, like, understanding and, like, the people I have around me that that's not the case. It's not the case at all. Like, people are responsible for their own actions. And I don't know, like, it's hard. Like, you do feel a little bit of guilt with him being in prison because I wouldn't want to put anybody through that, but actions have consequences, and he made his bed, he has to sleep in it.
How and when did you decide you needed to take some action there?
It was the worst, one of the worst incidents. We were on a night out, and Jake would cheat on me regularly and blame on me and manipulate it and tell me that them girls like made him do it and he didn't want to do it and they threw themselves on him, and I just didn't want to deal with it, but I just accepted it and I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And he was a bit touchy-feely with a girl, and I said it to him, I was like, look, you're making me really uncomfortable, she is a bit uncomfortable. And he just got really aggressive, he threw me against the wall in a nightclub and started punching the wall beside my head. And a friend seen, I made eye contact with a friend, and they brought him outside. And he was, like, going crazy. He was, like, trying to jump into the lift. People had to pin him down. He was screaming horrible things at me, telling people I had cheated him, that I was all these horrible words, like a tramp, the foot, all these things. I sleep with other people, which, like, was just total lies. And then he calmed down, and he came over to speak to me. He's like, look, you're the only person who can calm me down, so will you just talk to me? And I was like, yeah, okay. I was so embarrassed. I just wanted him to calm down. And we calmed down and he said, look, your parents are away. Why don't we have a few drinks and yours afterwards? And I was like, yeah, well, I just need to talk to you when we go home. So we went back to my house and I called him upstairs. And I was like, look, can we just have a little chat? I just really don't think this is going to work out. Like, maybe we could be friends. Like, I just really think this isn't going to work. And then he smashed the mirror. But where I just sat, the mirror was in front of me, so the glass fell on me. And then he would push me and shove me. And I was on the ground. And then I went down to my friend and I was like, look, you're just going to have to tell everybody to leave. And she was like, do you want me to stay? And I was like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And he went to leave everybody and was telling them lies. I poured a drink on him, that I'd done X, Y, and Z, that I kicked him out, which wasn't the case. He had also told me, I'm going to go home now and kill myself. So So people didn't understand why I was running after him. And we're like, he wants to leave. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, you don't understand, he's going to hurt himself. Like, I can't let him leave. So I said to him, look, like, you can just stay here tonight. And then in the morning, we'll have a chat when you're sober. And we can talk this out, whatever. And then the morning I tried to talk to him, I was like, look, my mum and dad are coming home. You think you should leave? And I'm just going to clean up. And he went absolutely crazy again, this time worse. Like, pulled my wardrobe apart, pulled all my belongings out, smashed all my makeup, like, smashed everything in my room, was pushing and shoving me, slamming me against walls. And when he left, he took my passport and a set of keys. But I just kind of let him walk because I was like, this is enough. Like, I can't do this anymore. So I went in to try clean everything, and my mum and dad came home and they seen. And my mum's like, what happened? And I said, oh, no, look, like, the girls were just getting ready. It got a bit messy. And she's like, Joe, this is blood on the wall. Like, your hands are cut up. And I was like, oh, yeah, look, like, it's smashed. She was like, was Jake here? But at the time, he wasn't allowed in my house. My mum and dad never liked him. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. And she said, look, enough's enough. I don't think you should be with him. I'm just going to have to put the foot down. And we tidied up my room together. And then the next morning, I was driving with her to my nanny's. And I just said it to her. She started crying. And I was like, I can't hold this in anymore. Like, I actually don't know what to do. He's still trying to contact me. His dad's trying to contact me because he won't contact him. I was like, I can't be the middleman anymore. I can't be, like, I'm not his mother. I can't protect him. Like, there's nothing I can do. He's hurting me too much. And I showed her, and then the guards came to the house. And it took 3 years for it to go to court. Like, it took an awful long time. But I think that time also helped me to kind of wrap my head around things and what had happened.
And are you free?
Am I free?
Yeah, of all this.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, as if, like, he's not nowhere near me. Like, I would never contact him again. He would never contact me. He has his own life going on. He's in prison. I don't want to see him again. I'm quite happy to be very far away. I've well and truly moved on with my life. And, like, I'm so grateful for the people I have around me. Like, if I didn't have them around me, I don't think I would have been able to cope and move on and be able to speak out about it. Because it is difficult. It's difficult to write around anonymity and for people to know all of your business and what has happened to you. Like, it's private. It's embarrassing. But if I didn't do it, I don't think I would have healed as fast. And then for me to help other girls and young girls and women, it helped me to process mine and to heal.
Yes. So you're using what happened to you. You're, you know, part of this Two Into You campaign. How important is it that that's there?
Oh, it's extremely important. It's hard, like I said, when you're young, you're vulnerable, you're still trying to find yourself. Like, you want the people around you, you want the best for them, and when someone loves you, you expect them to do all the great things, but, like, sometimes people can love on you and fill you with all this love, and you feel so good, and then when they pull back, all you can remember is the good times. You want that to come back so you can help yourself. And when you're that young, you just, like I said, you just want the best in people, and you try to look for the best in people. Some people aren't like that, and some people can take advantage of that. And I just think with younger girls, like, there's so many other people out there that can treat you so much better. And like, if you feel like you're going to be on your own, I know it's scary and you don't want to be on your own, but you're nearly better being on your own than being with someone like that, because they don't want what's good for you. They don't want you to achieve what you can in life. They're just going to pull you back. So for Two Into You to be there, I think it's amazing to let girls know about these red flags and to have the support in place.
Jodie, thanks for sharing the story. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Good morning to you. Thank you. That's Jodie Duggan there, a domestic abuse survivor. And if you've been a victim of domestic abuse, please seek help. You can contact Women's Aid on 1-800-341-900 at any time. They're open 24 hours a day and are there to help. So please, please seek help. 1-800-341-900. You can also contact Stop Domestic Violence in Ireland. That's Annie and Priscilla. And they're 086-869-7022. 086-869-7022. And that's Annie and Priscilla at Stop Domestic Violence. Morning Show at East Coast.